But so anyhow, good to be here with you this morning, and I trust that you can hear me. Everybody here okay? Are we cool? All right. There was a small town in Kentucky that had two churches and a distillery. The two churches thought that the distillery was a blight on the community, so they began to gather together and pray that God would shut the distillery down. Well, the owner of the distillery was a pronounced atheist, a vocal atheist, and they were gathered together to pray one night when all of a sudden a thunderstorm erupted and a lightning bolt struck the distillery and burned it down clear to the ground. Well, the next morning in both churches, the sermons were on the power of prayer. The insurance adjusters came in and declared the whole thing to be, quote, an act of God. So the atheist distillery owner took out a lawsuit suing the churches, charging they had conspired with God to destroy his business. And the two churches claimed they had nothing to do with it. So the judge, he opened the case before a packed courtroom and he said, this is the strangest case I have ever seen. Here we have an atheist who believes in the power of prayer and two churches full of Christians who don't. Turn in your Bible to Mark chapter 17, or Mark chapter 9, rather. Mark chapter 9. You know, Jesus said in Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice, he said, I will come into him, I will sup with him, and he with me. Now, I want to say this. It's not our prayer that moves Jesus. Contrary to popular opinion, it is not our prayer that moves Jesus. It's Jesus who moves us to pray. Andrew Murray said prayer is just dialogue between two people who love each other. I want to challenge you with something. We just came out of the men's prayer advance. It's only 30 minutes away. Y'all are welcome. But I want to challenge you with something. Prayer is just as much about listening as it is about talking. Most Christians cannot relate to God on any other basis other than asking. But Jesus said, if any man hear my voice, he said, if any man hath ears to hear, let him hear. He said, all my sheep hear my voice. Prayer is not just mouthing words to an unseen deity. A prayer is also getting in fellowship, opening the door. So the question is, how do we let Jesus in? How do we get on speaking terms with Christ? So I want to give you three simple points here this morning, Mark chapter 9. Notice number one, that the greatest qualification for prayer is helplessness. Your greatest qualification for prayer is helplessness. Now, look right here in Mark chapter 9, verse 17. And one of the multitude answered and said unto him, Mark 9, 17, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, but they could not. Verse 19, Jesus said, O faithless generation. How many know that is not a compliment? Faithless generation. How long will I be with you? How long shall I put up with this? And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him straightway, the spirit tore him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. I want to tell you that this father was absolutely helpless. His son was possessed. His son was afflicted. And the father was absolutely helpless to do anything. I want to tell you that helplessness is your greatest qualification for prayer. I'm going to help you this morning if you'll let me. Jesus, speak to our hearts. God, you help us. Thank you by faith. Amen. Now, Old Halsby said prayer has been ordained only for the helpless. Prayer has been ordained only for the helpless. Now, only the helpless can pray. The self-sufficient will not pray. The self-righteous cannot pray. And the self-centered don't want to pray. You know what we think? We think if we could get our circumstances right, if we could get our minds right, if we could get our emotions right, if we could get our words right, then surely, if we could get ourselves right, then surely God would be obligated to bless us. I want to tell you that personal revival is not a personal accomplishment. And we've had so much moralistic preaching that says if you'll pray more or give more or study more or do this more, then somehow you're going to be merit the favor of God. I'm here to tell you this morning, in Jesus, we already got the favor of God. And brother, I want to tell you, the gospel is not good advice for good people. The gospel is not good advice for good people. The gospel is good news for bad people. Only the helpless can be saved. Only the helpless can be revived. And helplessness should never keep you from praying, but rather helplessness should cause you to pray. How do you get God's attention? Humility gets the attention of God. And if we weren't helpless and distressed, perhaps how seldom would we pray? Heard this morning about these prayer requests. Tumors on the liver. People with cancer. Can I just say something to you? We are utterly helpless to heal ourselves, fix ourselves. And I'm telling you, we need the grace of God. But helplessness qualifies you to pray. So don't ever be discouraged when you feel helpless. The Bible says we're to come boldly to the throne of grace to find help in time of need. Call upon me in the day of trouble, God said, and I will answer you and you'll glorify me. Now the Bible says we don't know how to pray as we ought. How many can relate to that verse right there? We don't know how to pray as we ought. Do you ever feel like that right there? But the Holy Spirit makes intercession with groanings. Now, what's the problem? How often are our minds full of sin? Unclean thoughts, unkind thoughts, unloving thoughts, impure thoughts. And there's so much noise and distraction going on in our souls, we can't even hear Jesus when he's knocking. We can't even hear the voice of God. We're so preoccupied with the world, I am a lot, that to God and eternal things seem about a million miles away, so we feel like hypocrites for even trying to pray. But the very things that we think disqualify us from prayer are the very things that qualify us to pray. Prayer has been ordained for the helpless. Hannah was helpless when she was praying for a child. She was absolutely, utterly helpless. She was praying one day, her lips were moving, no words were coming out. Eli thought that she was intoxicated, but she was just burdened. She was helpless. She prayed. God gave her a miracle child. Hezekiah was dying. He turned to the wall and he cried. And then there, God extended his life 15 years. He was utterly helpless. The 10 lepers came to Jesus. Jesus healed. How many of the 10 did Jesus heal? I know it's early. Y'all talk to me this morning. Y'all going to have to help me out right here. I'm going to have to go to some black church somewhere. I'm tired of talking to honkies. I'll just tell you that right now. But anyhow, how many lepers did Jesus heal? How many came back to thank him? What happened to the other 9? They went out and joined the Baptist church. That's what one guy told me one day. What about old Abraham and Sarah? Remember Abraham and Sarah? You know, God told them they're going to be the father of a great nation, and they tried an alternative route. And they're both pushing 100, and the time of childbearing is over. And old Abraham, you know, he was so old, he had his olive wood walker. You know what I'm saying? His olive wood walker, and old Abraham, he's like this. And old Sarah, she had osteoporosis so bad she looked like a walking horseshoe. You know what I'm saying? Now listen to me. God told them they're going to be the father of a great nation. But at this particular time, stage in life, it ain't happening in the natural. Anybody with me on this right here? 3 stages of married life. You know what it is, don't you? 3 stages of married life. Procreation, recreation, imagination. Now, here they are right here. Here they are right here. Helpless. Helpless. And what happened? God gave him a miracle child. Jonah was helpless in the belly of the great fish, but he prayed and God delivered him out. What about Peter when he walked on the water? Wow, he got out of the boat, water walking, and there he is coming to Jesus. He gets his eyes off Jesus. The waves are crashing. It's the middle of the night. And what happens? He begins to sink. And how did Peter pray? Did he pray one of them cool, calm, casual, typical, non-excited prayers like on Wednesday nights? Did he pray this prayer? Do you think he prayed like this? Now, Lord, I just pray you'll save me if it be thy will. Do you think he prayed a stupid prayer like that? Not a chance. You know how he prayed? Lord, save me! Helpless. Helpless. If you're helpless this morning, I'm telling you, you're qualified to pray. Helplessness is an asset. It's your friend. It's something to be thankful to for. It's the one thing that will motivate you to pray. I tell you, when cancer comes knocking, you're helpless. You're helpless. I mean, it's scary. How many know that it's always the other dude that gets the cancer? It's always the other person whose child has an automobile accident. It's always the other person whose spouse dies. No, it's not always the other person. And I'm telling you, when you get holed up in a situation like that, you got one where to turn, and brother, we can cry out to the Lord. Oh, I'm just telling you, helplessness is an asset in prayer. Now, for some reason, God is attracted to weakness. He said, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now, strong people don't need God. Self-sufficient people don't need God. Self-righteous people don't need God. And I want to tell you something. Humility is a magnet for the grace of God. Buddy, when you get in a position where you got nowhere to look but to him, and you humble yourself in the presence of God, I'm just telling you, you draw near to him, he'll draw near to you. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Now listen, you don't have to get ready to pray, Sam. You do not have to get ready to pray. You get ready to pray by telling God how unready you already are. Now, we got this thing turned around backwards here. We're going to have to get this straightened out. A proper perspective in prayer. That's the message title. Old Owlsby said, prayer simply consists in telling God in what ways we feel we're helpless. So you say, well, you're presenting Christianity as a crutch. Well, a crutch is a good thing if you're handicapped. And we're all handicapped. And I'm here to tell you that helplessness qualifies you to pray. Now, helplessness is your greatest qualification for prayer. Everybody with me on this point right here? All right, all 10 that are with me, hang on and I'll give you the rest of it. Mark chapter 9, verse 21. Listen to this. Your greatest asset in prayer is need. Helplessness qualifies you to pray, but need, N-E-E-D, is your greatest asset in prayer. Now, look at this. Look, verse 21. And he asked his father, Jesus asked the father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And Jesus said, of a child. Oftentimes, it cast him into the fire, to the waters, to destroy him. If you can do anything. Now, the father wasn't certain Jesus could help, but he came anyway. And he said, If you can do anything, have compassion and help us. Now, the disciples couldn't help the boy. He'd already tried. The doctors couldn't help the boy. There was no hope. He was at the end of the way. He had a need. He was helpless, and he came to Jesus, and he said, if you can do anything, help us. You know what prayer is? Prayer is telling God what we lack. Prayer is telling God what we lack. Intercession is telling God what other people lack. Now, human beings are need machines. Need machines. We had about 800 men show up at the men's prayer advance. By the way, there's a ladies' prayer advance over in Roanoke in March. And if you want to come and get in, if you're looking for comedians and entertainers and celebrities, go somewhere else. If you're looking for the Holy Ghost, come to this. But we just had about 800 men show up. And you know what I found out about them? They're all like me, Brother Chris. We all got needs. Physical needs. Emotional needs. Spiritual needs, family needs, financial needs. We got need, human beings are need machines. The church at Laodicea, they said, we're rich and increased with goods and in need of nothing. Jesus said, you're poor, wretched, miserable, blind, and naked, and in need of everything. Buddy, you'd think they would know it if they were in that kind of bad of shape, you know. But need is an asset. because it's your need that causes you to come to Jesus and open the door and give him access to your heart. Now, the only people who really pray are people who need God, people who know they need God, and people that cannot make it without God. I don't believe in saying prayers. I would discourage anybody from saying prayers. I would encourage everybody to pray their prayers. And when you come to Jesus, you're bringing him all your needs. Now, in the Bible, God has revealed himself through his names and the compound Jehovah names in the Old Testament. One of them is Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord who sees before, the Lord who sees the need before we even know we've got it. He's God, our provider. The Lord who sees the need has the provision in hand beforehand. Now, Abraham and Isaac were going up to Mount Moriah, and Isaac turned to his father and said, "Hey, Dad, we've got the wood and the fire. Hey, Dad, we got the wood and the fire. Where's the lamb?" And what did Abraham say? Jehovah Jireh. God will provide himself a lamb. They got up on Mount Moriah at the commandment of God. He put his son on the altar, took that knife, and was about ready to thrust it into his heart when all of a sudden a ram bleated in the bush. It had gotten caught. And what was that? Jehovah Jireh. God had provided himself a lamb. Now here's what we've got to learn. In the spiritual economy, the supply always precedes the need. In the kingdom of God, the supply always precedes the need. God doesn't hear us cry and then he goes out and conjures up the supply. No, he gives us according to his supply in glory. Now look, God created the air before there was a man to breathe it. The supply is always in hand before there's a need. God created water before there was a fish to swim in it. The supply always precedes the need. And Jesus comes knocking. How does he come knocking? With needs. And when we open the door, when we finally get to the point where we're spiritually astute to know that when we discover a need, that's an indicator that God already has the supply. Now, brother, I want to tell you something. If you've got needs here this morning, the boy sang the chain breaker at the thing. If you have needs, he's a need meter. Hallelujah. Now listen to this. Listen to this. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. God has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness in Christ Jesus. Now, your need is an indicator that God already has the supply. How many believe that Jehovah Jireh is still our provider? Do you believe that? Now, what do you need here this morning? What do you need? Wisdom? Comfort? Cleansing? Forgiveness? What do you need? Stability? I mean, like, what do you need? Power? Deliverance? Salvation? Healing? Restoration? Listen to this. Your greatest asset in prayer, because it's your need that causes you to come to Jesus and give him access to your heart with all his miraculous power. Now, listen to this. Prayer is telling God what we lack. Say that out loud. Prayer is telling God what we lack. Intercession is telling God what other people lack. John chapter 2, wedding at Cana of Galilee, first miracle. Jesus is there. They have a problem. They run out of wine. The mother of Jesus was privy to this embarrassing situation, so she goes to Jesus, and what did she say? They have no wine. Prayer is telling God what we lack. Intercession is telling God what other people lack. Mary goes to Jesus and says, they have no wine. Now, Mary didn't offer Jesus advice on how to fix the situation. Most of the prayer of Baptist people is giving God advice on how to remedy the situation. Somebody said that most Christians want to serve God as advisors. Mary had never seen water turned into wine. She didn't recommend ways to fix it. She just went to him and told him how bad things were, left it with him, and walked away. And that's the essence of intercession, telling God what other people lack. And I want to tell you, the Bible says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, How many know that's easy preaching but hard living? Wait till the doctor comes out and says, you got cancer. I mean, easy preaching, hard living. Man, I used to preach on the faith life. I used to preach on how you ought to have the peace of God. I used to preach on, I had all kinds of advice. And then I found out I didn't know how weak I was till problems came our way. But I want to tell you something. Need is an asset because it causes you to go to Jesus, who's the only one that can help you anyhow. And I want to tell you, he can help us. When you got nowhere to look but up, you will. And that's probably when you'll do it. Chronic illness is a bummer. I buried three preacher buddies last year. Three of them. Stanley Long, some of y'all know him. He was 53 years old, man. And suffering crises. Terminal illness. Every day, about every day, we get a call of some friend of ours who has been diagnosed with some helplessness, needs, running out of our ears. You know, when I got sick, I didn't know how to pray. I mean, really, I'll be honest with you. I mean, it threw me, man. I'm terrified, you know. How many know that not everybody, when they find out that they think they're going to pass, not everybody is singing the hallelujah chorus on the way down to the funeral home to make preparations. How many know that not everybody is like that? Some people are like that. Praise God. I marvel at it. My wife's like that. My wife is so stable. I mean, she never gets too excited, but she never gets down. Wonder what that would be like. I mean, brother, she's just like, I mean, some of y'all are like that, I can tell. Some of y'all are the types where you didn't even get excited on your honeymoon. I can tell that. I can tell that you're just one of those balanced kind of types right there. You know, rocks, you know, nothing moves me. And then some of us, we're like Jell-O after it's been sitting out in 90-degree weather, you know what I'm saying? We're not quite so stable in our emotions. It's just the way people are. Are you with me? But you know what? When I got sick, and I called up my buddy Ralph Satura, and I said, hey, Ralph, how are you supposed to pray for sick people, man? You know, the excitable brethren, they can believe anything. I said, the excitable brethren can name it, claim it, and believe anything. I know a guy whose two-year-old son died. He told me he was believing God to resurrect his dead son at the graveside. He really believed it was going to happen. It didn't happen, and boy, was he disappointed when it didn't, but he believed it was going to happen. How many know there are people that can believe like anything? And then the crowd I want to run with can hardly believe anything at all. They announce a faith. And I want to tell you something, God responds to faith. But listen to me. Some people can believe anything. Other people have a hard time believing anything. I called up my friend Ralph Satura and I said, hey, Ralph, when you pray for sick people, Ralph, how are we supposed to pray? And Ralph said, Harold, when you pray for sick people, he said, you always pray in faith believing. You always pray in faith believing. And that way, if God chooses not to heal, at least it wasn't your unbelief that missed the miracle. Buddy, I can live with that. I can live with that. And I want to tell you something. Sick people don't need somebody coming in there praying a prayer of doubt. Call for the elders of the church. In the average church, what happens? Pastor gets up, sanctimonious. Well, brethren, we all know there's no miraculous power in the oil. Well, brethren, we all know there's no medicinal power in the oil. In fact, it's Crisco. And he'll spend 15 minutes stripping the faith out of the two people that actually would believe in God to do something. That is discouraging. Chris, listen. Sick people don't need to hear the prayer of doubt. They don't need to hear the prayer of fate. They don't need to hear the prayer of statistics. They don't need to hear the prayer of likelihood. They need somebody that's going to believe God on their behalf and appeal to Jehovah Rapha, God our healer. I'm just here to tell you, he doesn't always heal, but I think he'd heal more if we would believe God to do something. Don't throw the baby out with the wash. Just because some people have gone to unscriptural, ridiculous extremes doesn't mean we ought to go out the back door when it comes to praying for healing. Go ahead and say amen this morning. Amen. Go, somebody go to Starbucks, man, and get a case of that stuff and bring it in here. But anyhow, I want to tell you something. It means something to a sick person when somebody prays the prayer of faith. I'm just telling you, it means something. Somebody in a crisis, it means something to thank God in advance for meeting their need. Thank God for rescuing. Thank God for need is an asset. Helplessness is a qualification. But the greatest requirement for prayer is imperfect faith. Now, I'm going to help you this morning on this point. Look at this. This is so good. Look in verse 23. Helplessness is your greatest requirement. No. Imperfect faith is the greatest requirement for prayer. Now, look at this, verse 23. Jesus said to this father, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. Jesus put it back on him. Now, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. Now, look, verse 24. Straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears. I like this guy. He was burdened, man. His son was possessed. He was helpless. He had a need. He said with tears, Lord, I believe. Read the rest of it. What does it say? Help mine unbelief. Help thou mine unbelief. What was he saying? His faith was not perfect. Now follow this. Follow this. Without faith, you can't please God. If you're going to come to God, you got to believe that God is, that he is a rewarder to them that diligently seek him. Faith is the only doorway for God to enter a human heart. You can't relate to God with your five physical senses. You don't smell God. You don't taste God. You don't touch God with your fingers. You don't relate to God with your five physical senses. You relate to the physical world with your physical senses. How do you relate to God? With the sixth sense. It's called faith. And I want to tell you that faith is the only doorway for God to enter a human heart. Let me tell you something. If you're unsaved and on your way to hell here this morning, the only way you're going to be saved is by faith in the shed blood of Jesus who died in your place to atone for your sins. That's the only way you get saved. And as a Christian, the only way you can walk with God is by faith. The just shall live by faith. Now, you ever read those verses on faith in the Bible that just scare you to death? If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and doesn't hold back. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavers is like a wave of the sea, driven by the wind and tossed. Let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. But the Bible says, double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Oh, asking in faith. You ever read that one about the fig tree? How that the disciples and Jesus came to this fig tree. They were hungry and was full of leaves, all bushy and looking good and everything. And they went up to it and began to examine it. And then they found out there was nothing but leaves. And I can tell you got a cheap church because you got artificial flowers up here. Amen. But that's a joke. Just a joke. Don't get offended if you arrange that. All right. Grow up. Get over it. But anyhow, he was up there looking around in there and there wasn't no fruit in there. And Jesus backed off, looked at that fruitless, bushy, green-leaved fig tree, cursed it, and immediately it dried up. Wow. And the disciples marveled. And Jesus said, if you have faith and doubt not, you'll do not only what was done to that fig tree, you'll say to that mountain, be removed and cast in the sea, and it shall be done unto you. Can I tell you something here this morning? It's high time that the people of God in conservative churches started believing God for an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. It's high time we quit sitting back with a ton of old people in the church, can't relate to nobody under 40 years of age. It's high time we believe to cry out to God in faith for an intervention for our children and our grandchildren. It's high time we believe God for a revival of the work of God. It's high time we quit sitting around like a bunch of knots on a log, sitting around like a bunch of Presbyterians expecting nothing, and started believing God for some good things. We need some miracles in the house this morning. And I'm telling you, you don't have to have perfect faith to get one. No extra charge for that rant. You ever read verses like that and think, man alive, I don't have that kind of faith. Well, You ever read those books about people that pray for 5-10 hours a day? You ever read that kind of stuff? Like old Evan Roberts, you know, God woke him up at 3 o'clock every morning and he prayed for 4 hours and the glory fell in Wales. And when I wake up 3 o'clock in the morning, you know what I'm doing? I'm looking for the TV remote to try to hypnotize myself so I can go back to bed. You know what I'm saying? But you ever feel like you just don't have that kind of mountain shaking faith? You can be so tempted that you'll give up before you ever start. But I want to encourage you. Praying in faith should never be intimidating. I said praying in faith should never be intimidating. Does anybody ever feel like a hypocrite for trying to pray because you don't feel like you can pray in faith? You ever feel like that? No, well, cheer up. If you have enough faith to pray, you got enough faith to be heard. If you got enough faith to turn to Jesus like this father right here, you got enough faith to get a miracle. He that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. You don't have to have perfect, cocksure faith to come to Jesus. Just come on and tell him like the dad did how bad things are. Lord, if you can do anything, have compassion and help. I like this guy. Here he is weeping. You know, he's just all burdened down and broke up, and he can't do nothing about it. But he comes to Jesus, and buddy, he got his son. He got his son delivered. I want to tell you, the disciples couldn't help him. He didn't even know if Jesus could help him, but he came anyhow. And I want to tell you this morning, you come to Jesus. Now, you don't have to wait until you have strong faith to pray. You don't have to wait until your emotions tell you that something good is about to happen. You don't have to wait until you understand the situation. You don't have to wait until you get the situation in tip-top shape. Just come to Jesus. That's what the Father did. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Now, the Father, he knew his faith was not perfect. He acknowledged his unbelief. He cried out for help. He came to Jesus. And what is prayer? Telling God what we lack. What is intercession? Telling God what other people lack. Now look at what he was lacking. His emotions weren't right. His faith was imperfect. His past experiences had been unfruitful, but he came to Jesus anyhow. And brother, if you got enough faith to come to Jesus, you got enough faith to pray. He that comes to me, I'll in no wise cast out of the house. So faith sees its own need, acknowledges its own helplessness, comes to Jesus and tells him how bad things are. And the very act of coming to Jesus is the essence of prayer. That's what prayer is. It's coming to Jesus. It's sitting at his feet. It's just coming to get in his presence. It's just coming to him. Not always to talk, but a part of that is a time of listening. Now listen, you got to quit looking at the way things are. You got to quit looking at the way things are, and you got to start looking at the way things can be. Your dreams should always be larger than your memories. And the sad thing about the church of God today, visionless, believing nothing, expecting nothing, showing up, going through rote and routine and ritual and all this. Brother, I'm telling you, when you come to the house of God, you ought to be believing for God to touch your heart and the hearts of the people before you show up. When you go to God in secret prayer, you ought to be believing God that God's going to talk to you by his spirit through his book. I'm just telling you, without faith, you can't please him. But let's cheer up. Listen, I'm not trying to yell at you. I am, but I'm not trying to. Look. God works in spite of circumstances, not because of circumstances. I could tell you miracle after miracle. Man, we pray in possible prayer requests at those prayer advances. I'm telling you, and miracles happen. Anybody can see and believe. Anybody can see and believe. Remember doubting Thomas? What did he say? Unless I see, I will not believe. Think how tender Jesus was with Thomas. He didn't remove him from the apostleship. He didn't say, you sorry, no account outfit. What did he say? He showed him his hands. He showed him his feet. He showed him his open wounds in his side. He dealt graciously with him. How many are glad that God deals graciously with us? We got to get rid of these let-offs, because they're really just disguises for a lack of faith. Now, listen, friend, if you're weak in faith, you can pray that prayer. Lord, help my unbelief. If you're weak in faith, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Just read chapters, read books. If you're weak in faith, faith is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Faith is a choice to look beyond what is to what can be. And thanking God is the first step of faith. You know when I confess my sins, you know what I do? Immediately. God, thank you for forgiving me. Don't make any difference whether I feel forgiven. Thank you. Thanking God's the first step of faith. God, we got a family need. Thank you that you're going to rescue my son. Lord, we need a job. God, ask him for the job and then thank him for the job. Are you with me here? Thanking God's the first step of faith. And brother, quit praying with question marks. Start praying with some exclamation points. Go ahead and start believing God for what you need here this morning. I'm telling you that he is not short on supply. Now, helplessness motivates us to pray. Need is an asset in prayer. Imperfect faith is a requirement for prayer. And listen, if you got enough faith to come to Jesus, you got enough faith to get your miracle. Because what is prayer? It's just opening the heart's door to Jesus to give him access to meet all of our needs with his miraculous power. Now, we have every incentive to pray. You talk about being incentivized. Helplessness qualifies us to pray. A need is an asset in prayer. Imperfect faith is a requirement. Now, look, if helplessness qualifies, if need is an asset, if imperfect faith is a requirement, I'm personally in on all three points. How about you? You can do this. Well, I need to get strong. No. You need to get weak enough to where Christ can manifest himself through your mortal flesh. And I'm telling you, this is the way to pray. This is the perspective. I stand at the door, knock. If any man come unto me, open the heart door. I'll come into him, fellowship with him, he'll fellowship with me. God's not looking for perfection. He's not looking for flawlessness. He's looking for an open door. He's looking for an invitation. He's looking for a receptive heart. How many here this morning in this auditorium have needs in your life and in your home? Lift your hands. How many feel helpless? It don't mean no difference where you feel it, you are. Amen? Good. Helplessness qualifies you. Needs are an asset. How many would say, I don't have perfect faith, but I had enough faith to come to church, and I got enough faith to go to Jesus. How many got that kind of faith? All right, here's what we're going to do. I don't know what the next thing is, but I want you to grab your neighbor right there. Find somebody. Two people, hold up, and share. Here's my greatest personal need. Don't pray for your grandma's toe. What do you need from God? Don't pray for somebody else. What do you need? Grab your neighbor there by the hand, two of you, and just say, what is your greatest need? Pray for that. Hey, Tom, what's your need? Give it out real quick and just have a word of prayer. Let's apply the message this morning and let's come to Jesus. All right? Find somebody. Cry out to the Lord. This is a house of prayer. I didn't come down here to talk to y'all so you could go home and do nothing. Implement this. Talk to somebody. Find some help. Let's cry out to God. Let's pray. Come to Jesus.